In your Bible, in Matthew chapter 25, you got a Bible this morning? Want to look with me there? I thank God for that good truth this morning. Amen. It's by faith. By faith. Amen. Thank God. I don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't neither, but I'm glad He's in tomorrow. Amen. He goes ahead of us. What a good God. I thank Him for that. I bless His name. And I was encouraging you this morning to do what you can while you can. Amen. Do what today you can do. Don't put off to tomorrow. And there's a lot of things in that thought there. I mean, don't put off loving who you need to love today. Amen. Don't put off, thank God, acting upon what the Lord puts in your heart and what He wants you to do. Don't put off. We live in such a day of procrastination and a day of not heeding to what God wants in our lives, and it's dangerous. And this record I'll read to you is a very type of that this morning. The Bible said in verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And that they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.'" Now these 10 virgins, and a virgin was somebody that was chaste and they was unmarried. And we find here that they were 10 of them. And we know here in the Scripture that they had went to get into the feast of this marriage. And was waiting on the cry to hear what to come. And we find here in the text this morning there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. God's given a truth here to you and me that we always need to be prepared. The wise were prepared. The foolish were unprepared. And I think in the context, he's talking to Jews here, I believe that. And God, it's an application to a New Testament church. But the Jews, I believe there were, thank God, Messianic Jews that believed in the Messiah, believed who He was. And I believe the foolish, amen, was national, but they wasn't saved. And we find here that this bridegroom, thank God, the Bible said, came at midnight. It shows the lateness of the hour in this day and time that we're living in, that you and me ain't got to live in a late hour of our life and living in a late hour of this time. And when they heard the cry, the Bible said this, they said the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, held them lamps as a picture of a vessel, and therefore that vessel had light to give off. They trimmed their lamps. Lamps had to be trimmed a certain length. Thank God that their light might burn. Amen. The way it ought to be able to see to get to the place. Thank God that they had been called to go to. But I want you to recognize this thought. In verse 8, the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Our lamps are gone out. Amen. It looks like to me that at one time they had some oil in their lamps, and we find here that the lamps are gone out. There's a lot of things you can say right there, but it looks like to me that their false religion or their religious life didn't have no oil in it. I'm saying that this morning that there's got to be some oil in your lamp. Oil's a type of the Holy Ghost, and there's got to be oil in your lamp and my lamp. God this morning. A lot of people today carry a lamp, but they don't have no oil in their lamp. It looks good, and it's still, my friend, it's symbolic, but it's no oil in the lamp. Now, oil this morning, again, is a type of God's Holy Ghost, and we've got to have some oil in our lamp. Now, sometimes our oil runs lower than than what we want to. But if that's a lamp, it's going to burn. You're going to have some oil in it. Now I'm glad God put His oil in my heart. I'm glad, thank God, the oil's still there. And brother, listen, if you've got oil in your lamp, then it'll burn. Amen. But if you don't have no oil in your lamp, then your lamp won't burn. Hell, I'll say this morning that you're going to have some oil. Amen. And the oil had gone out in these foolish virgins. And these foolish virgins, thank God, looked to the wise virgins and said, give us of your oil. Well, can you get what I'm about to tell you? That you can't get oil from somebody else. Oh, you'll have to get your own oil. And God's the one who gives oil. Amen. Now I know in the day of the Old Testament that there was an oil seller. Amen. I believe Joash was ahead of that. And they enlisted. They didn't deliver oil, friend. Anybody in Israel had to go get the oil. And when they got there, they had to get the oil. Now you can't borrow your neighbor's salvation. You can't get saved because borrowing it from somebody else. Hey, God, you can't, my friend, stand before God and say, well, Daddy was saved. Mama was saved. What about you? Are you saved? Oh, you got to have your own oil. I've known a lot of people in my time have been preaching the Word of God that they always trying to depend on themselves instead of depending on God, instead of looking to Him, amen, to give them what they need. That's right. You can't depend on nobody else but the Lord. And when you depend on Him and trust Him, I'm glad, thank God, that's where it's at. It's not in your good works. It's not how long you've been coming to church. It's not how long you've been a good person. It's, thank God, the oil in your lamp. These were 10 virgins. Every one of them was chaste. Every one of them's a picture of a chaste person. But you're going to have oil in your lamp. It don't matter how good you think you are. You'll have to have oil in your lamp. Amen. Listen. Thank God, the oil made the difference. That's what makes the difference. That lamp can be as empty and dry and not burn. It's a picture of a religious person. Thank God, it all they got's a lamp. And they don't have no oil in the lamp. And brother, listen. Thank God, you're going to have oil to get in with the bridegroom. But when the bridegroom comes, thank God, the only way you can get in, thank God, have some oil in your lamp. Amen. That's right. There's too many people living today without oil in their lamp. And you got to have oil in your lamp. If you don't have no oil in your lamp, thank God, you're not going to get in. Oh, the bridegroom's a type of Christ. Amen. We're the bride. The church is a type of the bride. Amen. These virgins. Amen. There's a type in the truth of Israel. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the church. I'm glad I'm not just in a physical church, but I'm in a spiritual church. And you have to have oil in your lamp. You can't get mama's oil. You can't get daddy's oil. You have to have your own oil. Amen. I had to have my own oil. I'm down your friend lots and lots of people attend some place today, but they have no idea. Thank God, when they got oil in the lamp, there's never a test. There's never, my friend, examination of what I have within me. Is it real? Amen. And so I'm glad. Thank God, I live in this dispensation of time that I can have of the Holy Ghost. And brother, listen, they said, we can't give you our oil. Go get it for yourself. Go buy it for yourself. I'm telling you this morning, somebody said, how did you get saved? I said, well, you get saved through a person. And the person is one, Jesus Christ. And brethren, listen, the way you get to Him is through the Holy Ghost, through the gospel of the grace of God. It's not by works. It's not by joining the church. It's not by being a good person. It's by Him. It's by knowing Him. It's by saving grace. It's by the power of God. It's by truth. Amen. Truth will make a man free. Amen. An older lady, and God asked me yesterday, she said, "Joel, I know you'll tell me the truth." And she said, "I want to know, thank God, about afterlife and how to get to heaven." And I didn't have a plan, but I did have an answer. I said to man Jesus, the Savior Jesus, "Amen, you're the sinner, and you're going to have to see you're a sinner. Thank God there ain't but one Savior, and that's Jesus." Amen. I'm not the Savior. I can't save nobody. But I know one that can. I come to preach Him and Him crucified. And that's where the all's at. It's in Him. Thank God the all's in Him. I tell you, know why my lamp burns? Thank God for who lives in me. Amen. The lamp will burn. Thank God I need. Amen. To recognize the fact, if I don't have no all, there's no light in my lamp. Amen. That's right. There ain't no light in the church. So there ain't no oil in the church. Amen. I believe in the Holy Ghost of God. I believe He's the Lord. Is that Spirit. I believe, like the boys was talking about this Trinity this morning, I believe the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And they all in one. Amen. That's right. You can't get nothing else out of that but this one. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. One Holy Ghost, one Father, and one Son. Amen. And Jesus is all of them. Amen. He's the everlasting Father, and He's the Spirit. Amen. Hey, God, when you see Him, He's everything about the Godhead's in Him. He is the Godhead bodily. He said, "When you see Me, you've seen the Father." Everything about Him, God. Amen. Is resemblance of who the Father is. Amen. "I and my Father are one," He said. Amen. Hey, God, friend, I'm telling you, hey, God, the bridegroom's coming. Have you got any oil in your lamp? Amen. That's right. You got any oil in your lamp? Amen. The lamp's a picture of a vessel. That's right. Could have been simpler to a torch or something like that. I don't know. Thank God we got some in kerosene lamps. I'm not a real smart fellow on them kind of things, but my wife knows more about it than I do. Amen. But I'll tell you, if the power goes out, thank God we'll light her up. Amen. And it'll burn long as oil's in it. Amen. That's right. And the wick's trimmed and everything's just right. And you light that thing up and it'll burn. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. Oh, ought to be great. He said, amen. He said, "I learned how to read the Bible and pray. Thank God on my knees by a kerosene lamp." Amen. I like that. Thank God I had some oil in the lamp. You don't have to have oil in the lamp. Amen. To get to God, friend. That's right. And shine for God. Have you got any oil in your lamp? Amen. They said, "Go get your own oil." And so the Bible said, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. I'm telling you, that said, friend, you better do business while you can. That's why I said today's a day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. The day's a day of salvation. Amen. Brother, listen. Thank God when you know you need Him, thank God He ain't false. That's right. A lot of people say, "What did I do to be saved?" Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. How do I believe, preacher? Believe what the Word says. Believe in the manifestation of the Word. Amen. The Word, thank God, brings faith. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Listen here, the Bible said, and the bridegroom came, and they that were, what's the Word say? Ready. They that were ready went in with Him, the bridegroom, to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's the sad words. Sad words to know the door shut. Now, there's an open door this morning. There's an open door. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the door that's open. And it opened up at Calvary. If thank God, through the empty tomb and the resurrection, that we have as, thank God, as sinners, an access to the Father through the door. Amen. And I'm glad, thank God, that He said if you enter the door, you can go in the door and go in and out and find pasture. That means satisfaction. And brethren, listen. Amen. Have you ever got in the door? Amen. Has the door shut on you? I hope it hadn't. If the door shuts on you, you can't get in. You can't go through a shut door. You're going to have the door open to you. And buddy, I'm glad God opens the door to you. I'm glad Jesus has the door that's open. I'm glad there's an open door this morning. Amen. Thank God for doors that's been open in my life. But I'm glad there ain't but one door that got me in, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And without Him, you don't get in. Amen. Listen, they came back and the door was shut. And the day God shut the ark door, nobody could enter in. 7 days after the ark was built, God left that door open for 7 days. And then God shut the door. When you take your last breath, the door shut on this side. That's right, son. Amen. When your last breath is taken, the door shut. The door shut. You'll be outside the door if you don't enter the door. And them virgins, it was foolish, Jesus said. Thank God it was shut out. And notice verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Too late. I want to tell you two things this morning. Number one, you don't enter the door just any time you want to enter. Number two is, the door can't shut on you. Amen. You don't open your door for anybody. But I'll tell you what, when the door's open, that's the only time they can come in. That day you sat back there, we had 8 pews in the church then on each side. That day you sat back there and 1990, and the Word of God was preached. And you knelt down at that place to pray right there. The door's open to you. The gospel opens the door. And I want to ask y'all boldly this morning, boldly as I can in love, has there ever been a time in your life you got in the door? Has there ever been a time you got in the door? And God says, the door's open, son. Door's open, ma'am. You can come in now. Door's open. It ain't religion. It ain't me doing the best I can and going to some church. And that includes this church. It ain't being a minister. It ain't being of good works. It's being in the door. Listen, can I tell you this? God opens the door, but you have to walk in it. Amen. That's right. He said, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he had to enter in. These here knocked on the door. Look what the Lord said. He said, verily I said unto you, I know you not. Know you not. And then he said this, and this is the whole thought of the message, verse 13. It's really what the message centers around. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. He's talking about the second coming. Let me say this. Notice what he said. The day or the hour. He didn't say nothing about the year. He said, you don't know the day nor the hour. That means it could be today. You don't know the day nor the hour. What he's saying here to me in this context, he's saying there's these foolish virgins need to take a look at their life and see the Lord's coming. And they need to be prepared because they're unprepared. Are you prepared or unprepared? What would be your answer to that? Some of the saddest words is too late. It's too late.
My daddy was raised in a preacher's home. My grandpa was a preacher. He pastored and preached in Martinsville, Virginia. Had a fellow tell me one time, said, "Boy, old Levi was a good preacher." I said, "Yeah, I heard him on the tape. He's a good preacher. Amen. He's an old-time preacher." He got saved when he was 16, 18, something like that, and he couldn't read. Grandma Hyatt read the Bible to him, and then God taught him to read. He wouldn't have known what a commentary was. He knew what a dictionary was. And I'd go to his house, and he'd have his Bible underlined. He'd say, and I'd say something. He said, "No, wait a minute, let's look at this thing here." And he'd have underlined. He would take the scripture literal. That's good. He had 6 children in his family. But because Grandpa and Grandma had all, don't mean my daddy had all. But that's, thank God, if Grandma and Grandpa's got all, that means their children can have all. Because there's something about all that's around, thank God, them houses where people saved. So daddy got saved after I did, raised in a preacher's home. He had a brother named Manuel. I like Manuel. He's just an old common fella. He'd sit around on Saturday morning, you go to his house. And you know what's amazing of this, going into people's houses and they play the guitar. He sat around and played the guitar. He sung in a gospel group, Manuel did. He was, and I say this, you know, I know this is on tape, but to me, he is a favorite to me out of my daddy's brother. His wife still lives in Virginia. Children live there. He had a few of them to die. One, I think. Anyway, Manuel, he got real sick. I talked to him one day after I'd preached the Word of God, and the Lord dealt with him that day. It was in Harmony Hall. It was a Free Will Baptist church. It was a rest home underneath that place. I hadn't even started pastoring. I preached that day. I don't remember what I preached on. We stood in the parking lot that day. Him and them men come and sing. And I said, "Manuel, I mean, I can't decide this for you. I mean, that's something God's doing in your heart." I said, "But I mean, you need to be saved." And he said, "I know it. I know I do." And I said, "Well, call on God. Call on God." Just talked to him a while and left. He got sick after that. He was over here in Baptist Hospital. My daddy went over and seen him. And he wanted to see me. He wanted to talk to me. And when I got there, on that same day daddy had been there, I got there and I went to the desk and I said, "What room's Manuel Hyde in?" And the woman looked at me and said, "Sir, he just expired." That was the word she said. My heart sunk within me. And God, it was a burden on my heart that he didn't, far as I know. Listen, folks, you can't put anybody in heaven. But far as I know, maybe between that time would be the only hope I have. That maybe between that time that daddy was there and I got there, between that time he passed away, maybe between that time, just maybe between that time, maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to him and he got saved. You say, "What's the chance of that, preacher?" Very, very little. There's not many people in the Bible got saved like that. Now, we rejoice in the fact Brother Shank's testimony of his own mother got saved before she passed away. That's a miracle. It's a miracle anybody gets saved. That's a miracle anybody gets saved. I remember sitting in my grandpa's house before the funeral. We gathered around. Grandpa's weeping. And this is what he said to me, trying to pull up any hope he could for his own boy to know he is saved. This is what he said. He said, Joey, he said, "Maybe could we think about the 4 men that took that man to Jesus? Maybe. Because he saw their faith." But can I tell you this? Listen to me. Their faith was for that man's healing. Their faith wasn't for that man's salvation. And I said to Grandpa with a humble heart, I said, Grandpa, I'd like to tell you I really believe that, but I don't. I think every man that ever gets saved has to do business with God himself. And I think he's got to do business with God in his own heart. And it'd be a sad day. I'm glad, thank God. Can you imagine this? You've been saved now for over 2 years, I believe. Almost 2 years. God knows, and he knows all things. Ain't nothing God don't know. I understand that. God knows more than just what he knows. He knows all things, and I tell you, there's a whole lot of things that covers. But I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine if something had happened and you'd have left here 2 years ago? Could I imagine if I'd have left here over 35 years ago and never had heard the gospel, never had made a move to God, never had sought God because the Holy Spirit sought me? Had it not been for you, as you testified, Miss Tasha, for God's sovereign ordaining the steps for this young lady to come in, to sit on a church pew as a 16 years old, I believe, probably, with little Skyly beside of her. And now she sits in a third row of a Baptist church, married to Brother Keith's son, little Keith. I call him little Keith. He ain't too much little. Saved by the grace of God. Walk in a Sunday school class this morning and help this Sister Robinson teach. And you talk about God being on time every time. You talk about God, amen, being on time all the time. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, thank God if I didn't have no oil in my lamp, I'd ask God to give me some. I would. Amen. I'm going to tell you, can I say this? And this is, I mean, this is the truth. Nothing's more important in your life than to know you got oil in your lamp. Let's stand this morning. Thank you for hearing me.